in the past among the people, and in the same way, false teachers will appear among you. They will bring in destructive, untrue doctrines and will deny the Master who redeemed them. And so they will bring upon themselves sudden destruction. Even so, many will follow their immoral ways, and because of what they do, others will speak evil of the way of truth. In their greed, these false teachers will make a profit out of telling you made up stories. For a long time now, their judge has been ready, and their destroyer has been wide awake. God did not spare the angels who sinned, but threw them into hell, where they were kept chained in darkness, waiting for the day of judgment. God did not spare the ancient world, but brought the flood on, and the world of godless people. The only ones he saved were Noah, who preached righteousness, and seven other people. God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, destroying them with fire, and made them an example of what will happen in the godless. He rescued Lot and good man, and was destroyed by the immoral conduct of lawless people. That good man lived among them, and day after day he suffered agony as he saw and heard their evil actions. And so the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, and how to keep the wicked under punishment for the day of judgment, especially those who follow their filthy bodily lusts and despise God's authority. These false teachers are bold and arrogant and show no respect for the glorious beings above. Instead, they insult them. Even the angels, who are so much stronger and mightier than these false teachers, do not accuse them with insults in the presence of the Lord. But these people act by instinct, like wild animals, born to be captured and killed. They attack with insults anything they do not understand. They will be destroyed like wild animals, and they will be paid with suffering for the suffering they have caused. Pleasure for them is to do anything in broad daylight that will satisfy their bodily appetites. They are a shame and a disgrace as they join you in your meals, all the while enjoying their deceitful ways. They want to look for nothing but the chance to commit adultery. Their appetite for sin is never satisfied. They lead weak people into a trap. Their hearts are trained to be greedy. They are under God's curse. They have left the straight path and have lost their way. They have followed the path taken by Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the money he would get for doing wrong, and was rebuked for his sin. His donkey spoke with a human voice and stopped the prophet's insane action. These people are like dried up springs, like clouds blown along by a storm. God has reserved a place for them in the deepest darkness. They make proud and stupid statements and use immoral bodily lusts to trap those who are just beginning to escape from among people who live in error. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of destruction. Habits, for we are slaves of anything that has conquered us. If people have escaped from the corrupting forces of the world through their knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and then are again caught and conquered by them, such people are in worse condition at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been much better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than to know it and then turn away from the sacred command that was given them. What happened to them shows that the Proverbs are true. A dog goes back to what it has vomited, and a pig that has been washed goes back to roll in the mud. Here endeth the reading.
And yet also, referring to Noah, Noah is a righteous man who followed God's ways, and God recognized that. With all these rather sobering thoughts that came right through that passage as John read it to us, we do look at verse 7 and see the good news. And he rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless. We read that God rescues the righteous. A man teaching from God's word. Their trust in Jesus shall be saved and follow his teachings. We read amongst all the difficulties which are experienced by those who do not follow God's truth, but also the good news for those who do. The teachings which come from God's word are good news. And here Peter reminds us and reminds his readers to stick to trust and obey what God is calling them to do. Those who are upright will be listened to. And this is the promise here. Keeping to God's word is an even greater challenge now than it may have been in the past. So many more restrictions are there upon us. The temptation to sugarcoat what there is in God's word, to leave out some of the bits that perhaps might make others feel uncomfortable or even make us feel uncomfortable. Missing out on parts of the truth because we find them difficult. I remember going on a visit with some school children to a church up in a place called Liphook, down near Surrey, actually, down south somewhere. And the vicar in this, sorry?
Hampshire.
Down in Hampshire, yeah, okay. But you know, the vicar in this particular church, when the children had the chance to ask questions, actually said he didn't believe in there being a place called hell. I couldn't believe it. This is what he said, and this was the message he was giving out. I was completely shocked. Some bits of God's word are difficult. They challenge us about our eternal destiny, but also about the way in which we live our lives. They make all of us feel uncomfortable at some stage, and yet it's there in God's word. You know, next week there's the opportunity with a cafe church service. It's a different way of sharing the gospel. Different way of discussing God's word, but it doesn't mean God's word changes. That word is still the same. The opportunities that we're having to go into schools and share God's word. Yes, it might be different to ways in which it's happened in the past, but it's still God's word. It's still that same word, that same truth. Only this Thursday, I was reading Jeremiah 36. Jehoiakim destroyed Jeremiah's scroll, an attempt to eliminate God's word. There have been attempts to eliminate God's word throughout history, and it's still there. We read something in God's word, and maybe it makes us feel uncomfortable or challenges us about our behaviour. It's really annoying when it does that, isn't it? Happens to me every week. Absolutely, yeah. And if it didn't, maybe I'd be getting complacent as well. However, for all the things that challenge us in God's word, ultimately, the truth of God's word is a good message of good news, one that should encourage us. News that when we trust in him, we're given that promise of eternal life, but also the joy of truly knowing him, truly following him. Perhaps there'll be something in God's word that you read this week that's uncomfortable. Take time to pray about it, to allow God to help us with it. When we hear God's word, it needs to be centered on Jesus, the truth of our salvation. Not something that I say because I think it's good, but it needs to come from God's word and from God's truth. When we hear the word of God, we're called to trust and obey in him. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. And Father, as we reflect on it, we know there are times when it makes us feel uncomfortable, when it challenges us. Help us to keep growing in our faith, not to ignore it, but to know that it's your truth and that you love us and you want the best for us. And so, Father, help us to know that it's centered on you, that you are the true gospel. You are the way, the truth, and the life. We don't receive salvation by any other way except through you. Amen. We walk in God's word, and when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what glory he sheds on our way for all who will trust and obey. If you're